This is the Bridge of the Faithful podcast, featuring your host, Jenna Erlandson.
Hey guys, and welcome to episode 10 of the Bridge of the Faithful podcast. I'm Jenna, and we are all traveling this faithful bridge together. These episodes are just my documentation of the things that God is showing me as I search to understand what faithfulness really means. You can find this and all the other episodes at botfpodcast.com. And you can also connect with me at facebook.com/botfpodcast. A huge chunk of what I've been focusing on with this podcast in general comes from Hebrews 11, aka the faith chapter. But in life, I found that it's often good to look at what comes next when you're given information. In terms of Hebrews 12, we are given a lot of information on a lovely topic, discipline. It's kind of summed up in Hebrews 12, 11. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. There are three main elements of discipline that I have had a focus on recently. And the first is obvious. And no, this is not going to be any advice on parenting. Though if any of you have a great discipline advice, feel free to send me a message on Facebook or something like that. But really, I do think it's incredibly important to understand the punishment discipline aspect of our relationship with God. Lots of things make it a tough pill to swallow, but the biggest one for me is pride. I really hate to be wrong. And even more so, I hate for it to be pointed out. A lot of times when I receive punishment discipline, I find it very painful, like the verse says, and I struggle to reel in the reaction to lash back. So if it's so unpleasant, even painful, what is the point? Why would God want to cause us pain? Going back one more verse, Hebrews 12:10 says, "For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in His holiness." Discipline and trials from God are times when God brings us to repentance, to get our souls out of harm's way. It's part of how He makes our path straight, from Proverbs 3:6. Unlike those of us lovely, imperfect human parents, God's discipline is not just an angry physical response to something that He doesn't like or makes Him angry. It always has a purpose. I want to stop here first and make a point. I am not saying that anytime something bad, unpleasant, or uncomfortably life-changing happens, that it's God disciplining us for something. Proof of this is found in John 9, when Jesus healed a man who had been blind from birth. John 9, 2-3 says, "Rabbi," His disciples asked Him, "why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins?" "It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins," Jesus answered. "This happened so the power of God could be seen in him." What this does mean is that God takes things that result from this fallen world and He shows us how it does not defeat Him. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose." I don't know about you, but that's the kind of person that I want to discipline and guide me. This is not going to be a study or lecture on all the ways that God disciplines us and what that looks like, because to be honest, I just don't know. I do know that it will probably be completely different from person to person. I have two children, and what works for one does not work for the other one. God knows us personally, and He uses what He knows will work. So this is a very personal point between you and God. I just want to make sure you know all the ways that it's important, why to heed it, and how it's related to our faithful bridge journey. We've established that discipline is painful, not fun, not enjoyable, but somehow good for us. It guides us in the right direction. But why does God even bother? Hebrews 12, 5-9 gives us the wonderful reason. Because God loves us. It says, "And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as His children? He said, 'My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline and don't give up when He corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those He loves and He punishes each one He accepts as His child.' As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as His own children. Whoever heard of a child who is not disciplined by his father? If God doesn't discipline you as He does all of His children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really His children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to a discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? God loves us. That means He wants the best for us, and He actually will take the time to move us toward the right direction if we take His guidance. An example from the Bible of God's discipline that is also a direction-changing rescue plan is the story of Jonah and the fish. In the last episode, episode 9, Here I Am, Send Me, I talked about the detailed story of Jonah and Nineveh. But while studying it more for the last episode, I also had this topic of discipline in my mind as I read it, which caused some of the words to jump out at me a little differently. Keeping everything we've already talked about in mind, I really saw how God uses discipline to get Jonah's attention and bring him back to the right direction. Jonah was running in the exact opposite direction that God wanted him to. So to get his attention, God sent a big storm on the boat that he was traveling on. And I'm sure it didn't take Jonah long to realize that God was angry at him, and he therefore knew that if he was thrown off the boat, then everyone else would be safe. And to be honest, I'm not even sure if this was Jonah being worried about the rest of the people on the ship that he actually cared about, or if he knew that no matter what, he was doomed to end up in the sea anyway. But he finally told the captain to throw him overboard to stop the storm. After protesting, the sailors finally gave in and asked God to not hold them accountable for the bloodshed. And they said in Jonah 1:14, "O Lord, you have sent the storm upon him for your own good reasons." And as soon as Jonah was thrown overboard, the storm stopped immediately, which then caused all of the sailors to follow God from then forward. And then Jonah was swallowed by the big fish, and he stayed in the stomach for 3 days and three nights. I really don't know much about oceans or fishing or any type of biology in that sense, so imagining what those 3 days were like is really hard for me to relate to. However, I do know that it could not have smelled good. I doubt that there was much to eat or drink. It had to be so dark and so boring, and since stomachs are acidic and that Jonah was bleached white from that, it had to be somewhat painful. But this smelly, boring, painful punishment was actually how God rescued Jonah. It literally took him out of the death he deserved for his extreme disobedience, and it took him back straight in the direction that God wanted him to go. And the one redeeming quality for Jonah, because I really just find him to be a whiner in this whole story, but Jonah understood God's love and mercy through his discipline rescue plan. And when he said this beautiful prayer where God kind of got his heart in the right direction, that's when God released him from the fish. And you can see this prayer in chapter 2 of Jonah. As you can see, God is not like many of us human parents. I am so guilty of doing my discipline as a reaction to how angry I am at the disobedience, but God uses all discipline to teach, and He always ends it gently, or as we do here in our house, with a hug. Psalm 89:31-34 shows this. If they do not obey my decrees and fail to keep my commandments, then I will punish their sin with the rod and their disobedience with beating. But I will never stop loving him, nor fail to keep my promise to him. No, I will not break my covenant. I will not take back a single word that I said. With that, I feel convicted in my own life to do better with my boys. And he wants us to discipline, to lead and correct. If we don't do that, if we let it go unchecked, it will only do bad things for our children, preventing them from knowing how to do things well. 1 Samuel tells the story of Eli, a priest, actually the high priest, and he did not discipline his children well. Because of that, two of his sons were spoiled, entitled, and inconsiderate, so much so that they stole from the offerings, they were completely lazy, and they do not respect God, which resulted in the Philistines being able to steal the Ark of the Covenant. Again, God loves us. He wants to teach us the right way to live, and will get his hands dirty to help guide us on our way. Sometimes it looks like the punishment we've been talking about, but recently I've realized that discipline isn't always punishment. Sometimes it's more like a coaching relationship. God keeps us accountable, and he's also our coach. In the very recent past, I've started my journey into the fitness instructor realm. And this is really funny, especially for those of you who know me and know my awesome athletic abilities. Anyway, I've literally had hours of lectures on how to correct form, how to watch for people who need help, better ways to explain the reasoning for certain exercises, how to cue better, etc. So when I'm watching my classes, sometimes I will need to correct when they're doing something incorrectly. Maybe they're lifting their weights incorrectly, or they have the wrong arm position for a push-up. And when I correct them, I'm not punishing them, though they may beg to differ. But I'm coaching and guiding them to both get stronger, and in my opinion, more importantly, to not let them hurt themselves. A coach gives guidelines and instructions to help us succeed and move forward. And sometimes those rules seem harsh and tough to swallow. And we just don't feel like it that day. It's pushing us to the limit. It's not our favorite thing to work on, or we're just plain weak in that area. For me, that's anything to do with push-ups, and that's anything to do with chest strength. But a coach knows when to push and how hard, and we just need to trust God in that and actually do it. At my most recent training last weekend, we watched a funny video on someone pretending to be all of the different extremes of an instructor. Some were intimidating, strict, or they talked way too much, or they used too many big words that even I didn't understand. But the one that was poignant to me was the overly nice one. He wanted to be warm and fuzzy, comforting, and he wanted to make a point that he had zero expectations. He said things like, if you want to, but you don't have to, try this, but only if you feel like it, etc. And it sounds great in theory, but really it was completely confusing. It was unmotivating, which led to little results, and it left me craving more guidance and direction so that I could get better. Seeing coaching be done in this extreme opposite way helped me to realize that even when I get instructions and corrections from God that I don't want to hear or I'm daunted by, He gives them for our good, for us to get better and to get stronger. Lastly, there's another aspect of discipline that we are all responsible for, self-discipline. This one is really hard for me most of the time. When I think of self-discipline, I think of people training for marathons or who are able to successfully avoid eating that delicious-looking cake right in front of them. Dictionary.com defines self-discipline as discipline and training of oneself, usually for improvement. And part of me read that and was like, duh. So, how do we start working on this self-improvement? For me, there are two major ways to help me with my self-discipline issues. 2 Peter 1 gives a list of things that God gifts us for living a godly life. This list expounds, meaning that the first one builds into the next, etc. We need to make an effort to work on these to grow into the next one. And I find it quite appropriate that the foundational character quality in all of this is faith. Faith is the base that God puts all of our growth on. And this list is not a passive acceptance of gifts like at a birthday party, but it's more like an earning of a badge or a medal, and it's a stepping stone into our next growth opportunity. This passage calls self-discipline self-control, and it is in the middle of that step staircase of medals. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 6 gives the beginning breakdown. In view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control. So moral excellence or integrity, then add knowledge, and you start working your way towards self-control. The good news is that this podcast is working on exactly that. Find ways for building into your knowledge of God. Read your Bible. Find good Bible studies. Get together with friends and encourage and be accountable to each other. This all matures us to a level where we begin to increase self-control in all areas of our life. The other way that works really well for me personally is to have a realistic goal and a plan to get there. One example for me is that a couple of years ago, I did a Couch to 5K program. I have a really good friend who is really knowledgeable in running and loves to coach, and she really wanted me to succeed. So she coached me by giving me weekly workouts that gradually got me stronger and in better shape so that I could successfully run and complete a 5K. And just so you know, if you have a goal that you really want to do and you work for weeks and weeks to get there, it is a really good feeling when you get to the end of that goal. Another self-control goal plan that I have is food related because, let's be honest, I really love food. I work with the middle school youth group at my church, and every Sunday they get 6 glorious boxes of Bill's Donuts. But I'm trying really hard to be better in the realm of sweet things, so I was determined to stop having them every week, with a splurge every once in a while because I'm human. So the first couple of times I had no plan, and therefore I just couldn't fight the urge with the smell of fresh donuts. But I saw that some of my girls brought in different, much healthier snack, and they were able to make it through without eating a donut. So for the next month, I brought a different healthier snack, like a granola bar or gummies or something like that. By gummies, I mean like fruit snacks. And I was able to avoid eating the donut. If I don't have a plan, I am so much less likely to make it to my goal. Accountability partners are also great plans to get to your goal. So I'm really excited about the next episode because it's going to kind of wrap up this whole discipline theme with someone who really knows a lot about discipline. I have a really good friend named Grace Norman, and by discipline, I mean like the self-discipline coaching aspect, not that I think she's a delinquent or anything like that, but she is actually an Olympic gold medalist, and her story is really cool. She's really down to earth and great, so this interview was really fun for me. She actually babysits my boys, so there's just that fun personal relationship that I have with her. And her story starts off, she was born and like everybody, she was born and due to a difficulty with the pregnancy, she lost the bottom half of her leg. And she was born into a very competitive and athletic family. So they really encouraged her and grew her. And she actually became the first female gold medalist in the Paralympic triathlon. So it's really cool. And all of the stuff that I've said, she actually makes it jump out at you. And it's more relevant in my heart, and I just was really touched by it. So I'm excited to share that with all of you. And it also kind of becomes our link between that discipline topic and then the next topic, which is endurance. And endurance or perseverance just happens to be that next metal in that godliness staircase that we were just talking about. And when you put discipline and endurance together, that right there is a force to be reckoned with. 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should.
This has been episode 10 of the Bridge of the Faithful podcast entitled Discipline. For show notes, go to botfpodcast.com/episode/10. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/botfpodcast.